Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes from Shoreline Church. And Jason, it is between Sundays. We didn't get to meet last week because of some things.
Some things were notable with
your son, and we can get into that in a second. Because there's not really any news. There's not really anything going on in the news today to talk about.
Locally, or nationally, globally.
It's really a boring time.
It is as if nothing has happened
over
the last 2 weeks.
If you're a paper reader or a Twitter scroller, it is a boring time.
My wife, who is an amazing, godly, incredible woman. I mean, truly. But she is not intrigued or engaged with the news.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
she will
kind of stick her toe back into the news on occasion. And it wasn't about a week ago that like she asked about something and it just felt like so many things had actually occurred. I didn't even know where to start in trying to catch her up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's just,
it's been wild. Yeah.
Well, before we get into that, let's talk about your son.
Yeah.
He had a baseball accident.
Apologies for needing to give you guys a classic show.
Right. Something from the archives.
The
greatest hit.
Yes. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, let's say that.
Yeah, for last week, actually. So a week ago Sunday, my oldest son took a baseball in a freak accident straight off his bat into his face.
Yeah.
He wears a jaw guard and is a really good player. And so just completely really, really freakish. Truly, he could try to do it a million times
and could
never do it again. And so it shattered his nose, but the bigger deal is he had a septal hematoma. And so that thus meant there was all kinds of swelling and buildup all around that area, which naturally is quite close to your brain.
Sure, yeah.
And so they had to go in and do a fairly pressing surgery, and then after that do the corrective work that would hopefully – try to straighten out his nose and things of that sort. And so it has been a doozy of a week, but by God's grace, he is doing really, really well. In fact, he went back to school for the first day yesterday, at Christian Academy in Knoxville here in town, and, got his stents out of his face on Monday. And that, and as you would imagine, would bring a great amount of relief.
Sure, yeah.
It was one of those things I wish I didn't ever have to see again.
Yeah.
We're grateful that he's okay. So our apologies.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that y'all chose like a Rudolph nose to put back on there.
Yeah,
that was interesting, but I know we're close to Christmas. And
but it's seasonal. He can also do a Pinocchio type
look. That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so great that now he has the freedom to change.
One day, Jason,
he'll be.
It is remarkable. Have you ever broken your nose?
I have not. Well, not that I'm aware of. I've had, you've been hit in the face.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have.
So I had a broken nose, way back in the day, but it did not require correction.
Yeah.
So it kind of remained straight.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. I know. You're like, oh, I've been looking.
I figured
it
was something, but.
That's why we're on radio and not on television. Yes, this was kind of all new to us, but yeah, it was wild. His nose wasn't so much broken, it was like shattered.
Yeah.
So they quite literally had to take like pieces of cartilage and stuff and like almost divide it to the different sides of his nose. And then they put these stents in and it kind of all grows together. The crazy thing is after 7 days, it's formed strong enough that if they had to do anything else to correct it, they would have to break it again.
Well, what's crazy is I saw the picture and you would never know that it happened.
Yeah, like the picture of the day that it happened.
Right, right.
I mean, he looked horrific.
Not good.
Yeah. Yes. And yesterday, my wife posted a picture and he looks like himself.
Yeah, it's amazing how far we've advanced. It's amazing how the body just fixes.
In fact, I was looking at myself this morning and I was like, wait, am I the one that had major.
Right. Why am I swollen?
How come I look so terrible and he looks so great?
Yeah.
Fortunately, he looks more like his mother.
Yeah.
So that's
good. Young kids can just deal with
things. Yeah, man.
As you get older like us.
So that's personal issues. And then we've of course had some local issues. Of course we could get into sports and, our continued ups and downs. And by I say ups and downs, I mean exclusively downs of the Vols. We could talk about that stuff.
Get used to the valley.
But there's today some really unique issues that have really kind of arose over the last, I should probably say arisen over the last, week or so.
Yeah.
Issues that, one, are fairly new, and then, two, another issue that has been a part of the cultural conversation for years now, but has a new spokesperson in a 16-year-old young lady.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about these impeachment issues, and we're talking about all these climate discussions. They are upon us,
and we
talk about them today.
And we were talking before we went on air, like, do we even want to talk about these
things? In fact, last night we said we're not talking about impeachment.
We're not going to.
But we're going to talk a little bit about it.
But here's the thing. Like, the whole point of this show is to talk about relevant issues that are in the news, that are going on, and how are Christians, how can we navigate those waters? And so if we didn't talk about it, it would be like, oh, hey, do y'all watch the news? Are y'all paying attention to anything, that's currently going on? And frankly, if we talk about it, there's this sense of, oh no, what may we say that might.
Has there ever been a major piece of news that you just completely missed? Like you were like, you were in the middle of a sickness
or
like you were traveling out of the country or anything of that sort?
If I'm honest, since Twitter's been around,
no,
probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just because it's there.
Yeah.
It's immediately there. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was. I think about the days.
Probably in our childhood. There
yeah.
Were
I think about days before social media and stuff. There was probably multiple things that occurred that we didn't, even when you think of, like, we go way back to Pearl Harbor. I bet there was a lot of the country that didn't know that for a while.
Right. Maybe some of my wife Carrie's reluctance towards today's news may be a result of her upbringing, but they didn't have a television for a good long time.
Yeah.
She missed the Challenger explosion.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, I mean, she was aware that it happened, but didn't see it live, didn't see, it was just an interesting deal.
Oh, yeah,
deal.
at the Woodhouse.
Folks from my house, I mean, folks from my generation, that was
significant. Yeah, it was a big
significant.
Deal. And at the Woodhouse, at the Woodhouse, I'm the one usually going, hey, did you hear that this is going on? And I'm looked at like, no, what are you talking about?
So we're going to not do that today.
Yeah.
We're going to try to talk about some things that are happening. One, we're going to talk about these impeachment discussions.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to talk about this climate discussion that seems to have been elevated again at the most recent gathering of the UN and this 16-year-old kind of spokesperson that's so vigilant and forceful in her conversation that very well may just be a political pawn, and by saying that's probably the case.
Yeah, and the frustrating part about all of it is we have reached a point, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, we have reached a point where we are so polarized and kind of tribalistic when it comes to our politics that we can't even have a conversation.
Right.
If you just bring up climate change, it's the same thing with abortion now. It immediately puts you in a corner. And so you immediately are on one side or the other instead of just going, I just thought we could have a conversation about it and not kind of be hateful and angry and bitter toward everybody else. And so with the impeachment stuff, it's the same way. We've seen since the election, there's been a large segment of folks that are saying we just need to not have him in office. The interesting thing is, from a political standpoint, the vice president is much more conservative.
Right.
And so if you remove the president, and you know if you're saying
you don't get to go,
you don't get Hillary,
you don't get to go, you don't get to go through just a list of who you'd prefer.
It's an interesting thing to me, and so now that those conversations are coming, one thing that I saw that stuck out to me yesterday was one of the presidential candidates running right now said the last day this president is in office will be a joyful day, and all our mental health can be back to a good place. And I immediately listened to that and said, wow, if our mental health is dependent on who's in the Oval Office, then we have an idolatry problem.
Absolutely.
And a heart problem.
Right.
That's not on the person on the Oval Office, whether it's a Democrat in that office or a Republican or an independent. Like, if our mental health is based on who holds that office.
Right.
Wow, we got some big issues.
Well, there's huge perspective issues that are
right.
being really highlighted there. You're like, man, if truly the leader of our nation is that intricately connected to my personal health and well-being, man, then one, either people have an experience that I do not have.
Right, right.
You know, they are living in some world that has ramifications that don't seem to be in play with me.
Yep.
And by all means, maybe there's a blind spot that I have, but I just know that is not the case for me. But then secondly, you think, man, where are these people's hope? You know, surely there's hope in something grander than what the work of man can do.
Right.
And again, I think it speaks towards idolatry. So just briefly, for those of our listeners that have no idea, they're like many people who see the words impeachment run across CNN or Fox News or headline news or whatever it may be. What exactly is happening? If you can give the listeners just a quick peek into this before we go into break.
If we took this to its furthest extent, the House, currently in control of the Democrats, would have a vote on impeachment of the president. And so, if they voted in favor of that, which many people believe, if they brought that to a vote, certainly it would pass. Then the president would be impeached. Well, Bill Clinton was impeached, but he wasn't removed from office.
Right.
And so just because you're impeached doesn't mean you're removed from office. What that means is, okay, you've been impeached. Now it's going to go to the Senate. The Senate will then hold a trial.
And the Senate is
in control of the Republicans.
Correct.
And so, look, there's a reason why the founders put all this in place.
Right.
So you couldn't just easily remove people from office. That's not the goal. And so they want it to be a process. So what the Senate would do is they would have hearings. There would be attorneys and prosecution. House would have people speaking on their behalf. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would kind of oversee it all.
And it is not just a simple majority.
No, it's a two-thirds vote. So after all of that, you have closing statements just like any other trial. And then the Senate would vote, and they would need two-thirds. That is very difficult to do.
Correct.
Which, again, is why the founders put it in place. So you need two-thirds vote in the Senate. And then if that were the case, if they voted in the affirmative, then the president would be removed from office. Mike Pence would become the president of the United States.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll see what would happen from there. Here's the thing. From a what we had yesterday is Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, simply agreed to continue the hearings, and let's see if there's things out there that we need to even bring a floor vote for.
Right.
And it's right now that the main thing being talked about is a conversation between the president and the Ukrainian president, and about a quid pro quo. Did he withhold funds that were voted on to go to Ukraine and by saying, hey, I'll give you these funds once you investigate Joe Biden and his son. So then they said, well, you got to release the transcript of the phone call. Trump came out yesterday, said, okay, I'll release the transcript of the phone call. And then they said, well, we also need the whistleblower complaint because there's a whistleblower that kind of brought this all to a head. And so Trump said, okay, we'll release that complaint too. And so now all the cards seem to be on the table. They will be today at some point. And so here we are. And that's where we are today. And we're not going to get into the weeds of all of that. But I do think it's important.
Because there are a lot of weeds.
I mean, come up to me on Sunday at church. I'd be happy to get into the weeds with you on that. But I think what we want to do today is talk about if this is controlling your mental health and if this is in you. Look, I'm a political nut.
Yes.
And this has nothing to do with my mental health.
Right.
I don't wake up thinking about it. I don't go to bed thinking about it. And that's what we want to talk about when we come back. So, Jason, is this when we announce that we're running?
Breaking.
I think it's important that Jason and I are running for office together.
Together.
We're not.
Shared ticket.
It's a shared ticket. And you ask, what office are you running for? And our answer is all of them.
Every office.
It's going to be busy putting in all the petitions for every single.
Right.
Every single office.
You say what district? All of them.
All of them. Because, yeah, all of them. No, I mean, oh, well, you can't do that. Well, why not?
On what will our platform be? Just not the other people's platforms.
Right. Well, we just don't want you to worry about things.
Our platform will be common sense.
Common sense. That's never been used. And, that'll be so much fun. And what we'll do is we'll take it old school and we'll get on a train. We'll have a small stool that we'll take with us, and we stand on that stool at each stop.
Wow.
Do trains even have stops anymore?
I don't know if they do.
But we're going to do that, and then we're going to speak to the people. We're going to wear top hats and tweed suits.
Wow.
I have all this figured out, Jason. It's going to be so much fun.
Great.
It's going to be so much fun. And tweed suit and top hat and 90-degree September weather.
He would be protective of my bald head, though.
It's going to be good.
And that would,
it's going to
be good. Helpful.
I think the nation is yearning for
this
that.
Ticket. I think we may be onto something.
At the very least, it would grow our listenership.
From 9 to 19.
At the very least.
Yes.
It would do that.
It would be
It's going to be fun. We're going to get stickers, all that stuff.
Oh.
It's going to be fun.
All right, breaking.
So, yeah, put that in your pipe.
Yeah, I don't really that in case if your van doesn't have a muffler.
That's right. Put it in your exhaust pipe that my van doesn't have.
Yes.
Because it's really loud.
And you apparently don't love the earth.
I don't, apparently. But I do.
But you
and
do.
So,
and so let's talk about that.
So let's talk about this.
This is one of these things that it is interesting, and it's really unfortunate because obviously we're sitting here joking about a lot of silly stuff here today. But we do recognize, as we think about the earth, as we think about creation, as we think about climate and all of these things, there is a certain responsibility that is appropriate. There is a stewardship of this thing that God has entrusted us with that is appropriate. It is right. I think it is righteous. I think that, unfortunately, though, for any of us that very well may sit in a camp that, not that I would call our faith a camp, but those that might identify with Christ or even those that may not necessarily align with us when it comes to issues of faith, but some that may align in a certain political party, especially the conservative, Republicans and things of the sort, have somehow been deemed as people who hate the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really unfortunate, that you can't value the stewardship of the earth and also hold to, more traditional or conservative viewpoints is really, really unfortunate. And so with that said, though, man, there is some extremism out there that seems to be, it is just pushing it to a degree that, man, it feels unhealthy.
Well, it's a weird place that we find ourselves currently where we have a desire for a number of folks on both sides to hand talking points to a teenager and then put them in front of a camera.
So,
and
in some cases, folks know what happened this week.
Yeah, so this week, the climate, there's big protests across the country on climate change, and we need to cut emissions. And if you look at the platform of what they're doing, it's more than just emissions. It's like completely wholesale change of our economy.
Right.
Get rid of cows, get rid of cars,
right.
Stop having kids. Like it's a full on extreme position.
Many of which you came to petition arriving in their private jets.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And the thing that really, ended it for me was the paper straw. I mean, you might have had me, and then you get paper straws, and I'm like, okay.
How does the
I can't. I
here's,
can't.
I'm a straw.
And you can't recycle those paper straws. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
They're non-recyclable.
I would like just to say that I think it is more insulting to me that they think that I should only drink the drink once, because let's face it, if you get a refill, the paper is almost dissolved at that point.
Yes,
I am not ordering a beverage in a restaurant expecting to receive one.
No.
I'm expecting to receive two or three,
even
if it's water.
We went to a restaurant the other night, and I'm not joking, I probably had 8 glasses of water.
Golly.
And I got up 3 times to go to the – Aaron was like, really, you got to go again? I was like, it's free. It's free. Just keep bringing this water out, you know?
You were just trying to make a point.
Making the best of it.
Did you? I'm assuming you had a plastic straw.
Didn't even have a
no
straw. They didn't even offer one.
Well.
And so
interesting.
So, yeah. So as we look at the protests that have been going on, a young 16-year-old from where's she from?
I'm not sure I recall.
Out of country. She's not from here. And so she sailed a long way, and then they put her in front, and she also has some she's autistic, and there's some other things going on.
And we want to be very clear to say any discussion related to this young lady is in no fashion an effort to demean her or to minimize even any real conviction that she might have, or to imply that a young person can't have values and opinions that are worth listening to. However, in this case, boy, it sure feels like she has been used as a pawn in in larger political movements. It sure feels that way.
And it's scary, too, because as she was speaking, she was crying, and she was saying, shame on you to the adults.
And real terror.
You've ruined everything. You took my childhood away. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, what are we doing? Like, again, I'm a political nut. When debates are on, I'm watching the debates.
Right.
And I've sensed it with my children that I have to go, hold on, this isn't, I shouldn't be putting this on them right now. And so when you were saying this world's going to end in what used to be, we were told, 30, 40 years. Now all of a sudden it's just 12 years.
The
other day it was 10 years. And so I'm going, 18 months. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so then we have to, it's not hard to then wonder why mental health issues in young people are raising and depression is on the rise. Well, it's because listen to what we're telling them.
Right.
And so instead of saying, hey, there, we need to make sure that we recycle. We need to make sure that we take care of the earth God created, which is an okay thing to say.
Correct.
But taking it and going, we've ruined everything. And that takes it to a place of bringing about fear and things to our children. But it also gets us to a point of we no longer again care about the image bearers that are dealing with this. But we see it as just an issue, and we're willing to do anything to get this issue out in front, even if that means putting a young person in front of a camera.
Right. And we could get into again quite a few weeds on how it feels at times that. With certain political leanings and certain political issues, the voice of young people is minimized.
Right.
Well, they're 15, they're 14, they don't know what they're talking about. No. However, with certain political leanings and other issues, the voice of children is elevated.
Yeah.
And that's something to probably at least take notice of. But again, the point today is not for us simply just to make some observations. The point is for us to hopefully provide some help. And so when we think about things like a political leader that's trying to be impeached, or when we think about the outcry that's associated, and maybe I would even say a unhealthy outcry. Mm-hmm. And again, that is not to imply that concern, need, adjustment, legislation, any of these things aren't required or necessary to take care of the earth. But when we see a certain elevation of it to a point where it seems unhealthy, where people are beginning to fear for their life, where young people are saying their lives are being ruined by certain issues, does it speak towards something else? And when we come back from the break here in just a moment, I think we need to get at that. I think we need to really begin to consider, do we see places where idolatry is in play? Do we see places where maybe we've placed creation over creator? Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame.
That's Johnny Cash. Everybody, I don't know if you knew that.
I was
you wore your black shirt
in
honor of Johnny today.
Yes.
And have you watched, you probably haven't because you're not a country music fan, the PBS documentary, Ken Burns documentary? It's like a 12, 13-part series on the history of country music.
In what will be a shock to our listeners, I have not.
Oh, man. You're missing out.
Man.
Well, if you're listening to this and you like country music and the history of country music and you like history, you should watch it.
I do enjoy history.
It's good. It takes you from the very beginning, like way, way back.
Yeah.
To the most recent one I watched is going through the 90s, which is my heart.
Yeah.
So it's going through like Vince Gill, Ricky Skaggs, Garth Brooks, George Strait, Reba McEntire. Just all the heavy
Speaking
hitters.
Of Garth Brooks, did you choose to purchase tickets for him coming to Neyland Stadium?
This week, on Monday, was my 13-year anniversary, married to my wife.
Yes, congratulations.
Okay. So we're sitting at the restaurant, and we're talking, and Erin pulls out of her wallet two tickets to Garth Brooks.
Neyland Stadium. Is amazing.
It is amazing. And I didn't buy any, so it was perfect.
You had nothing to present to her.
Here's the thing.
That's why I was so knowing. Not because you're going to go to Garth Brooks.
So we're going to Garth Brooks, which is awesome.
I feel like there's a possibility your wife gave you a gift and you were empty-handed.
Here's what happened. Here's the amazing thing. We've been together 13 years. We don't like, we're not really gift people.
Right.
She didn't get me a card, but she got me the tickets. I got her a card.
So you could share.
Perfect. perfect.
I don't know. Actually, I still feel like you came up pretty short.
And we ate a meal that I'll just say might have had to take a loan out to eat.
Where did you eat?
We went to Lonesome Dove. Really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
really good.
Absolutely great. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we recognize there's occasional meals that you can splurge a little bit on.
It was not fun.
We won't find you there every Friday night.
I can assure you. even while I was eating, and if the chef of Lonesome Dove is listening, I apologize. But even when I was, we had lobster hush puppies was one of the,
one of the
things. And so I took a bite and I looked at Aaron and I went, I prefer Long John Silver's hush puppies.
And you will never be invited back.
And then the chef came out and punched me in the face and said, "Get out of my
Let's
restaurant."
Let's face it, though. Yeah. Long John Silver's, man. I used to love some Long John Silver's. I used to love Long John Silver's chicken.
Their chicken's amazing.
And the little crispies, extra crispies, so in the box.
That's what Tim Allen would do. It's really good stuff. I watched Home Improvement last night.
Man.
So as we look at what's going on around the world, let's walk us through some of the, I guess, celebrating creation over creator. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity had a great line where he said, when we hear a bird singing, we don't just celebrate the voice. We don't just celebrate the singing. We celebrate the voice maker, the noise maker,
right,
which is the bird. And then in a greater sense, we celebrate the bird maker, which is God. And so we can get it flipped where we celebrate creation and forget about creator.
Yeah, I think so. As you know, in the middle of a series called By Faith, Shoreline, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, these great men and women of faith that Paul had elevated, and we see all of them, had a real faith in a couple things. One is this purpose that was redemption, meaning that God was going to send a Redeemer, a Messiah, was going to make things right and to rescue them and in whatever context it might be. And so you always had these men and women who believed in that. But they also truly did believe in the presence of God. And we've talked quite a bit about that. And for us, you know, at times we might say, well, we can't see God, but yet we see evidence of God everywhere around us. And so in the same way you can't see the wind, You can see the trees blowing, you know. Well, I can see in any way that I might choose to look, I can begin to see God. I can see God in how I got to know this just goofy dude that was named Andrew Wood, and we ended up on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, like our friendship, our relationship, it didn't just happen out of happenstance. Like God orchestrated that. I think of how God, I met my wife in the University of Tennessee library. And for those of you that know, that was not a place I spent a ton of time. and so God orchestrated. But then you would look at creation. You look at the human body. You look at science. You look at, even look at the way that the Bible has been held together and been preserved over generations, unlike any other book in the history of the world. There's evidence of God. And my fear is that many people are missing that.
Yeah.
That they have looked at creation and they have missed creator, and ultimately thus they have begun to worship creation rather than worship creator. And so if you worship something, you are going to become passionate about something. And when you become passionate about something, at times, you then take strong steps, and that's not necessarily wrong in that. In fact, we see obedience, sacrifice, selflessness. However, the problem is when you are worshiping the wrong thing. And I think we see that in many places. And with worship comes things like hope and comes things like real purpose in life. And so again, when we worship the wrong thing, we seek to find hope in the wrong thing. We seek to find purpose in the wrong thing. And that is how we find ourselves in situations that say, quite literally, if someone is not recycling, they're ruining my life.
Yep.
And that becomes problematic.
Well, we also get to a place
where, by the way, you are ruining my life. You do not.
When I worked at University of Tennessee, I used to joke with the staff because we disagreed on a lot of things. Imagine that. And they would always put their paper in the recycle bin, which I did too.
Right, sure.
And I would joke.
Yeah, again, we can,
of course,
we do
I
these
that.
Things, right.
And I would joke and say, it, you know, I don't know why you do that. When they come by at night, they just throw it in the trash can.
I have often thought that. And I especially think that with our trash service.
Well, the whole time I'm completely joking.
Right.
Just to get kind of, you know, get under their skin a little bit. One night I was there late and the dude threw it in the trash can. And I was like, oh wow, he really is. Okay. And so, but as we look at that, we do find a sense of, look, we put our hope. That's why when you get to a place of convincing yourself this world's going to end in 12 years, your hope is in this stuff. Your hope is not in an eternity and not in a creator, not in anything else. And so you can't see anything else.
that there's no sovereignty out there.
Right.
You know, like I really do believe that God is bigger, stronger, and greater than the way that this world handles emissions. I know right. that sounds terrible, but I really do believe that if God wants humanity to exist on the earth for as many years as he wants, he's going to make means to do that.
Yeah, it's up to him.
The world could quite literally fail in every way that humanity could fail in every way possible when it comes to emissions, when it comes to again, the way that we interact with creation. And if God, in his sovereignty, desires for humanity to remain on the earth for as long as he wants, he will make other things happen, corrective things happen, in order to maintain humanity on the earth. And so again, it doesn't give us, as Jude says, use grace as a license for immorality. Mm-hmm. I don't think we use sovereignty as a grace just to not steward the earth. But there's got to be some perspective in it.
Well, and our hope is not in those things. And so it's the same reason why I don't let my kids just throw their trash out the window or throw it in the yard or whatever. We put it away. There's a process for doing that. Certainly we do that. But there's not I'm not looking to my kids and saying, because if you do throw it out the window,
the world's
we're dead.
But why are you doing that? You're doing that because you're teaching them not only respect for authority, because hey, there's rules, there's laws, things, but because you're like, hey guys, like God created this.
Yep.
Like there's something every morning when we drive. So I take my two youngest boys to school and we drive down North Shore Drive out in West Knoxville and we run right alongside the lake. And so many times I'll try to connect like what we're seeing to even the morning prayer that we're going to have as they're going towards school, you know, like, God, thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you for creation that's all around us. Thank you for this amazing sunrise. Thank you for us being able to see that bird, you know, swoop down over the lake. I mean, there is a side that again is mindful of Creator in the context of discussion about creation.
And that's the thing. Like we, again, it's okay to be passionate. I mean, if I have a show every Tuesday where I talk about life and abortion and go all in on that. But the reason why is because of creation. We talk about image bearers and we talk about how image bearers matter to us. We've been told to love our neighbor. So in loving our neighbor, it does mean, you know, keeping things clean and taking care of the earth, certainly. But what it doesn't mean is this mob mentality and canceling culture and all of these things of attacking people just because they disagree with you. So we have 1 minute left in this segment. So as Christians, as we're looking at all of this, we have to put it in the proper perspective. The reason we have a Between Sunday show is because as Christians, we have the Sunday where we meet and gather.
Right.
And then the rest of the week, our news feed is filling up, our newspapers are filling up with the news of the day. And how do we biblically, through a biblical worldview, look at those things.
Right. And I think it goes back to the voices that we're allowing into our minds. And it doesn't mean that we just retreat. We don't read the news. But the defining voices that need to be in our life need to be the voice of God through the word, through prayer. It needs to be the encouragement of the body. And in that, we begin to be able to look at things of the world with the right perspective. We'll be back. Big Willie Styles already
getting jiggy with it. That's Will Smith. Kind of like Johnny Cash.
Right. I was going to say almost zero similarity, but I like it.
Speaking of Will Smith, have you seen the new Aladdin? He's the genie.
I have seen the new Aladdin. I thought it was pretty good.
We watched it the other night. It was okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as good as the original, in my opinion.
Right.
Robin Williams is an amazing Aladdin.
Couple things worth noting. Have you seen that, you know, there's all these reboots of new shows and things? And apparently there is going to be a reboot of Saved by the Bell.
Yep.
However, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Zach Morris, not included.
Really?
What in the world? I know.
No, then
did you hear the silence break across the waves?
They can't do it.
The radio waves?
Like, legitimately,
here?
I was going to name my first son because of him. And that's not a joke. That's true.
I believe that it may be because he is currently involved in a show on a opposing network.
Okay. Well, then they shouldn't do it.
I would agree.
You don't have Saved by the Bell without Zach and Kelly.
I would agree.
And Slater.
And Jesse.
And Jesse and Screech.
And
Lisa. I mean, you got to have all of them.
And the Max.
And Mr. Belden.
Right. Yeah.
Man, what a great show.
Yeah.
He had good hair too, that Zach.
Yeah.
Zach and Kelly were perfect.
So a huge shout out today to, University of Tennessee, former player and also Knoxville native and also a friend of mine, Jan Gomes, and the Washington Nationals last night, who clinched playoff wild card,
How's
spot.
That possible? Bryce Harper's gone. How's that possible?
No,
Jason?
Crazy. And did you notice that they actually clinched against the Phillies?
Yeah.
What a wonderful
irony.
You can't
write that script.
No,
that's why I believe it's all fake. Yeah. They planned that.
Clearly. That was a lot of fun. I have found myself maybe more invested in the MLB playoff run this year than I have maybe ever.
Yeah.
I think some of that is because I've got boys that play baseball. Sure. So I've become interested in it. And two, just because I would say even in addition to Tennessee being bad, it does not feel like college football has been everything I'm used to it being. It doesn't feel as great. In fact, I would say I've actually had more enjoyment watching pro football this year than college.
I would agree with that.
And that's crazy. That's unusual for me.
And I would say that baseball playoff time is some of the best sports you'll see.
I would agree.
A lot of drama. It's exciting. And people that say baseball is not exciting, watch the playoffs.
Yep.
It is exciting and it's fun to watch. And so we have that. We have basketball. UT basketball is about to start up practice, and so
we were talking off air
about
some
that.
Speculate who will win first, the Vols basketball, who will win next, the Vols basketball team or the Vols football team. And the Vols basketball team, I believe, has a exhibition match, maybe as early as like October 8th or something
of that sort. I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would bet the house that it's the basketball team. Yeah, that's what I would bet. The football's just been hard, man. It's been hard to watch and get into. And,
we're still for you, Vols.
I'm here for you and support you. I'll still watch.
Yeah.
But the basketball, it's weird how it's shifted. I'm like, and first off, Vol basketball on Twitter is some of the best Twitter out there.
Well done.
And so they've been posting videos and stuff saying it's almost time.
Yep.
I'm getting this weird excitement.
You're amped up.
I'm excited about it.
Have you gone and like pounded a Red Bull? Just getting ready for
Sundrop.
For basketball?
Sundrop. That's my go-to. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel today. I need to clarify something today.
Okay.
Here we are in the studio as we wrap up today's show. This whole time, you've been seeing me sip out of a Chick-fil-A cup.
Yeah, I have.
And yet, inside of this is a LaCroix.
Oh.
I know.
They don't sell that at Chick-fil-A.
It was this morning. I actually had a real beverage. And then I
kept the cup.
I kept the cup and poured a great beverage
you
into
recycled.
It. Look at me.
Look at you. And it all's full circle.
It feels good.
It's almost like we're professional radio people.
I would say so.
I mean, we brought all of that, all of what we talked about today, back to the very last thing that was said, was Jason recycled his cup and used it for his LaCroix.
Next week, we hope that we can bring more insightful thought to real issues between Sundays. We'll see you soon.